Hi, welcome to Indiana Weekend with John Strauss. This is a kind of radio magazine show about the interesting places and intriguing people in our part of the state. We get out of the studio and onto the road to find the kind of radio you don't hear so much anymore. Stories off the beaten path and usually away from the top headlines. We figure the weekend is a good time for that. Time to lean back a little, slow down, meet somebody interesting, hear what people are saying. Of course, when we're not on the radio, you can catch up with us on Facebook. Just search Indiana Weekend. And we'd love to hear your thoughts about the show, your comments, thoughts about whom we might talk with, or where you would like to hear our microphones. Our email address is, conveniently enough, indianaweekend@gmail.com. I'm John Strauss. You know, we recently visited with members of the American Legion to talk about the experiences of troops returning from the conflicts in Afghanistan and Iraq. Now an exhibit at Mina Trista is giving us a look at the lives of soldiers from another era. It's called Away From Home, Civil War Letters, and offers what Mina Trista describes as an emotional journey into the lives of American Civil War soldiers and their families. The exhibits include the actual letters, some of them read aloud, like this.
My dear father, I'm very tired for Sunday night. We hear our playing the soldier is no day of rest, but well and in excellent spirits. So are the boys without exception. Thus thee can report to inquirers. I send by citizens returning tomorrow a requisition for shirts and towels for our company. I am sure they will not hesitate to comply with our desires to relieve our wants. Thank God for such a constituency.
We visited Mina Trista with Rebecca Holmquist, Vice President for Visitor Experiences, sitting out in one of the gardens with the sunshine and the cicadas to talk about the exhibit.
We really wanted to showcase some of the correspondence from the Civil War. We have samples of letters from several families that were from this region, and we really wanted folks to see the back and forth, the home writing to their soldier, the soldier writing back to home. There's a lot of emotion. There's loss and sadness, but also triumph, and all of that comes through with these letters. And we wanted to have people go through the time period of the Civil War through the voices of the people involved.
You know, as I was walking through the exhibit, there are the letters, the sound of people reading them, which really adds a lot. And there's some music of the period about that gives you the feeling of what it must have been like for these people to be marching off into maybe what they thought was glory, into the harsh realities of what was to come.
That's exactly right. Most of these men didn't really know what they were getting themselves into. They expected a much shorter time away from home. So you can see the early letters that are more excited, and they were being heroes and doing something wonderful for their country. And then as the war drew on, how it became much, the tone of the letters really changed, and the hardships became more evident. And the home life, the hardships at home were much more difficult. So I think you see that through the letters, and that's what we really wanted people to learn from it.
One of the letters from a captain, I think, in an Indiana unit, telling his father, hey, we're going to need some, it was basic equipment. I'm trying to think, like blankets and things like
mm-hmm.
that.
Yeah, they needed personal effects. They needed additional supplies, and they were trying to get some of those sent from home.
It's amazing the voice that you can hear in the letters as you read them.
Yeah, so you have a couple of options. We have the original letters in the exhibition. We also have folks who have read the letters out loud, so you can listen to all of them if you'd like, or you can read them. And I think each gives a different layer because you can see how they wrote. You can hear the words that they were using and develop your own idea of their emotion. So you're right. It's a very interesting way the feeling and emotion comes through.
I think of the Ken Burns film and the way that the music and the letters kind of helped us experience that as well. Where did these come from? Was this a effort to reach out to find these, or how did they make their way here?
We have a couple of collections of letters within the Minnetrista Heritage Collection. So we really wanted, our goal is always to get as much of our archives and collections objects out so folks can learn from them and see them. So this was an opportunity to share some of those letters, and we had some very good larger collections of correspondence from a couple of soldiers and their families from the East Central Indiana region.
Visiting Minnetrista with Rebecca Holmquist about their exhibit, Away From Home, Civil War Letters. And as we sit out here, I think we've got a cicada that's nearby.
I know. I think they're just joining us. They're giving us some music in the background.
With the train and everything. So here we are. By the way, probably ought to mention that while folks are out here, you also have a Lincoln exhibit right next door to the Civil War Letters.
We do. Abraham Lincoln, the Image, is an exhibition that is from the Indiana State Museum, and we borrowed that to complement our Away From Home exhibition. So if you want to see some objects, some portraits, imagery from Abraham Lincoln time period, that's a great exhibit to take in while you're here.
Talking with Rebecca Holmquist of Minnetrista about the center's exhibit, Away From Home, Civil War Letters, which is on display through October 28th at Minnetrista. When we come back, drawing the connections between life during the Civil War and today.
Indiana Weekend, real radio from just down the road. Look for that name on Facebook and drop us a line to let us know what you think at indianaweekend@gmail.com. Here's John Strauss.
You know, after weeks of unrelenting heat, maybe we'll get a break in the weather sometime. If we do, that'll help the folks at East Central Indiana Therapeutic Riding. This is a program in place for years now that helps children with conditions such as cerebral palsy and autism. They can gain muscular strength, balance, and rhythm, to name just a few of the benefits. Kathy Rapkin is president of East Central Therapeutic Riding. And Kathy, how does this work? I mean, you don't just put these children on horses right away, right? There's some training that you do with them, or you get them ready?
The horses are trained for approximately 3 years. They're called... It's called bomb-proofing, where the horses are accustomed to loud noises, screaming, stomping kids. They're just accustomed to a lot of noises so the children don't bother them. The kids are referred to us through physicians, pediatricians, physical therapists, occupational therapists, parents who've brought their other kids to us, or volunteers who happen to know about the program.
Now, I like horses, and I don't know, I find horses kind of calming when you're petting them. Is that part of what we're seeing there?
Yes. Horses are very intuitive to our reactions.
Is that true? Horses actually can scent? I mean, people, I've heard that before, that
yeah.
If you're nervous, if you're scared of the horse, they pick up on that.
Yes, absolutely. If you come in with an attitude, or you come in and show fear, the horse figures, I have total control of this, and they will take over.
Oh, yeah.
You have to go in and show that you're the master.
Okay.
And
you have to show some confidence and everything?
You have to show lots of confidence. Even if you're scared, show confidence in them, and they will love you. We've worked with children from YOC.
I was just going to say, so how do you do that with the therapeutic children who may not have that confidence?
We have large horses, and if a child first comes, we also have miniature horses. If a child comes or a parent is interested, a child is apprehensive, we will let the kids first bond with the minis. We'll let them pet them. We'll let them get accustomed to them. We'll gradually work them up to petting a large horse. And sometimes it's called toss and go. We just take the child, put them on the horse, and take off. And once the child is on the horse and they're moving, they're absolutely fine.
No kidding. Mm-hmm. So in that moment, they see, oh, I'm not going to be hurt here. This is going to be all right.
They see the other children who are on the horses just as well, and it will get them to relax. Sometimes the kids have bad days. We know that it's not going to hurt them. We will keep them on the horse. They can scream. They can cry. It doesn't bother us. It doesn't bother the horse.
Now, horses have their own kind of personalities, right?
Yes.
So do you have to find the right horses who
yes.
are going to be okay with this?
Yes. We will. I have a thoroughbred, there's no way he would do this. He wouldn't tolerate any of this at all. It's a horse that's got a very soft disposition. They just have I don't care.
So some of us have been, you have a thoroughbred, and you and I were talking mm-hmm. earlier. You actually have one of the retired racehorses
yes.
that we had on the show, that we talked about on the show a while back.
Yes. He likes to move fast. He doesn't want to be able to just walk. And that's what these horses have to do. They have to be able to just walk in circles.
These are, you've got sort of a sports car horse.
Yep.
For East Central Therapeutic Riding for these children, you've got the kind of horse that some of us may have been on the little saddle rides going down the
No, he wouldn't do that either. He wouldn't do that either.
Your horse wouldn't do that.
But
for the therapeutic
yes.
riding, that's the kind of horse I'm
Absolutely.
Talking about.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
They're gentle. They're
very
calm.
Gentle. They're older. A lot of them are older horses. The lady that owns the barn, Dina Robertson, most of these are her horses. And she's very generous at letting us lease her barn and use her horses. And then some of the riders that are at the stable will allow us to use their horses if they have the temperament.
Tell me about what you've seen this do for some of these children who may, in other aspects of their life, face difficulties, face people who don't understand them. And
mm-hmm.
listen to those. What do we have here? Cicadas?
Cicadas.
The cicadas are off.
Yes. It gives the children a chance to, if you're talking a child with cerebral palsy, they don't use their muscles. So their muscle tone is very, very tense. They come in, we put them on the horse, and when they first sit down, they're very rigid, their knees maybe up to their chin. As they get on the horse, they start to relax in their muscles, their legs will start to drape over. The way the horse walks simulates how a human walks.
It's kind of similar, the same sort of rhythm, sort of?
It's the exact same thing. It's the way the hip movements go. So when we put that child on the horse, when they're walking, it's moving their hips just like as if they were walking. And it helps strengthen their muscles. It's not going to get them to walk, but at least they've got some muscle tone.
It's got to be a big... For kids who have difficulties in their life and... they can't always be feeling great about the medical condition that they're in, but to be friends with a horse, lets them pet them and sit on top of them. Mm-hmm. What have you seen that? What's that do for their outlook?
They come in, and the ones that can't speak, you can hear their excitement by their squeals. They know they get on the horse and they're squealing and they're excited. Just the look on their faces tells it all, and the look on the parents' faces tells it all. Because you know what? It's not just about the kids. These parents deal with this 24/7. So to have their child do something that's not requiring them gives that parent a half an hour to just sit back and look at the beauty of their child doing something without their assistance.
Kathy Rapkin is president of East Central Therapeutic Riding, the program that helps children with conditions such as cerebral palsy and autism gain strength and confidence. A little bit later, stories of the children helped by the horses.
This is Indiana Weekend with John Strauss on Indiana Public Radio.
An exhibit at Minnetrista is giving us a look at the lives of soldiers from another era called Away From Home, Civil War Letters. It offers an up-close, personal perspective into the lives of American Civil War soldiers and their families. We met up with Rebecca Holmquist of Minnetrista about the exhibit. Sitting outside in the gardens, it occurred to me how the Civil War letters reminded me a little of what my nephews wrote when they were deployed with the Marine Corps. Military service is much different today, but the need to connect with loved ones at home doesn't change.
I also think that we want to have a personal connection. We are homesick. We have loved ones we leave behind. We have loved ones we send off. That has never changed. That's never going to change, those feelings. That's why talking about it from that perspective, you can draw connections between Civil War time period and today. We're still corresponding. We're still trying to reach out to those in other places, and it is still horrible.
Any reactions that you've gotten from people who've come to see this, or...
Folks are excited to see original letters. I think that's always part of going to see these things. You want to see something that has been pinned that time period, that you can read the actual language and look at the writing, as well as learn about what they were saying. So folks have really been excited to actually see what folks are saying.
At Minnetrista, and as we head toward the fall season, anything coming up that you want to talk about?
Sure. We definitely encourage you to come and do the Civil War experience. We also are doing a two-person show that is the experience of two actors that were at Ford's Theater, and they're going through the what-ifs, if I could have... what could I have done a little differently and maybe affected the outcome and not... and maybe affected no assassination of Abraham Lincoln. So it's a very powerful piece about a 40-minute show that we're hosting here. We also regularly have events and activities that you can take advantage of throughout the weekdays and weekends.
Very good. And, of course, like so many things, you can Google up the website online and get the details, talking with Rebecca Holmquist of Minnetrista about the center's exhibit, Away From Home, Civil War Letters, which is on display through October 28th at Minnetrista in Muncie. Thanks, Rebecca.
Thank you.
This is Indiana Weekend with John Strauss on Indiana Public Radio.
Coming up, more about the Muncie Therapeutic Horse Riding Program. Hope you found that interesting. You know, as a parent, I'm struck by how much the horse program does for the moms and dads of these special needs children. While the kids are getting a thrill on horseback, their parents are getting a much-needed break. Speaking of children, I want to tell you about next week's show, when we'll spend some time at the Boys and Girls Club of Muncie on the South Side. Like me, you might be thinking you already know about this group. Let me just tell you, we had a riot when we visited there recently. I should say the kids were rioting, at least that's what it sounded like. But actually, as the folks there explained, that's the happy sound of kids having fun, just as they ought to be in the summer. This was a fun story to do because we not only got to talk with Bill Green, who's the executive director at Boys and Girls Club, but also Yolanda, who sort of keeps everything under control, and some really great kids. Anyway, that's next week on the show. I really think you'll enjoy meeting these people, and we always appreciate you stopping by to visit with us. Talking with Kathy Rapkin, president of East Central Therapeutic Riding, which is a, how would we describe this? This is a program that helps children with disabilities of some kind or another get on the back of horses.
Yeah, special needs children from the ages of 2 to 18.
Can you think back to a time when you saw this at work and you thought, boy, we're doing the right thing here?
Mm-hmm. We have a young man who's now 17. He came to us when he was 11, and he was pretty frightened of everything. He had some sensory issues, so he didn't like to touch animals, didn't want to be touched, didn't really want to be a part of the therapeutic riding program. He just wanted no part of it. But we worked with him. One of the instructors, when he finally agreed to get on a horse, asked him what his favorite subject was. And he said math, and we thought, well, this is great, because we do patterns. We walk different kinds of patterns. So we asked him to describe some of his favorite patterns, and he did. And she incorporated those patterns into his sessions on the horse, which just reeled him in. He loved it. He was with us for 3 years, got to the point where he ended up taking his own private riding lessons. He was terrified of animals, adopted a kitten from the barn. at the age of 15, got his Eagle Scout badge. His project was to build, he built a ramp for the stable, which we call the Taj Mahal of ramps. This is the most phenomenal ramp. He did all of the work himself with the help of his parents. He will work with the young kids as a volunteer now. If they're apprehensive about riding, he will go to them and tell him his concerns, what they used to be, and he's just a phenomenal child. He just graduated with a certificate of leadership from the schools. So he is an amazing, amazing young man. He's got a great future ahead of him, and we'd like to take some of the credit for this. I mean, his parents have worked well with him, but he found something that he could connect with, and it was the horse.
That's amazing. Do you even look for volunteers to help out with this?
Always. We use a lot of students from Ball State, their volunteer services.
Student volunteer services?
We've gone to the Converge meetings in town to recruit volunteers. It's hard work. There's nothing easy about it. The barn is dirty, it's hot, and there's a lot of walking. So, but we do volunteer training once, twice a year if we have to get the people that don't know what kind of special needs kids are and what we have to deal with. We don't breach confidentiality, but we tell them enough to understand what the child needs, and we try to keep the same volunteer working with the same child each week. So it's not difficult for the child. It's something that they become accustomed to. They're on the same horse. They have all the same equipment. They have the same riders or the same staff working with them. And that way the staff get to understand the child better.
Do the volunteers need to know a lot about horses?
Not at all. Not at all. If they're afraid of horses, we always have other things for them to do. Generally, it's people walk alongside the child and kind of just keep their hand out to support them so the child doesn't fall. They're taught how to quickly remove a child if conditions arise where the child looks like they're going to fall. We try to work with them pretty closely to make sure that the volunteers feel comfortable as well.
Kathy Rapkin, president of East Central Therapeutic Riding. More information online about the idea of therapeutic riding in general with the Professional Association of Therapeutic Horsemanship or just by Googling horse therapy. East Central Therapeutic Riding has a page on Facebook also. And if you need to get a hold of them, you can always drop me a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com. Thank you, Kathy Rapkin, for your great work.
Thank you very much.
That's our show for today. I'm John Strauss. Big thanks to our producer, Marcus Jackman. We want to thank you for the notes to indianaweekend@gmail.com and likes on our Facebook page. Martha Payne writes to mention that her friends at Holy Trinity Greek Orthodox Church in Indy are having their Greek festival on September 7th and 8th. We'll put the details on the Facebook page. Just look up Indiana Weekend, give us a like. In the meantime, thanks and have a great week. Until we meet again on the next Indiana Weekend on Indiana Public Radio, I'm John Strauss.
Indiana Weekend with host John Strauss of the Ball State Journalism Department. Our show is engineered at Indiana Public Radio, produced by Marcus Jackman. Major support for Indiana Weekend comes from Dillman's Furniture, Muncie, serving East Central Indiana with home furnishings from Flex Steel, Bassett, and Simmons Beautyrest. Join us again next week for Indiana Weekend with John Strauss here on Indiana Public Radio.